This is Oklahoma Perspective. The Bells Amusement Park has been closed since 2006. Recently, the Bells family made an exciting announcement that the Bells Amusement Park would be rebuilt. Recently, KRMG's Russell Mills talked with Robbie Bell about the plans.
Robbie Bell, whose family owned and operated Bells Amusement Park for well over 50 years. You told me 56 years.
Yep, 1951 to 2006.
And then earlier this week, all of a sudden, the Bells Amusement Park Facebook page came back to life, and there's some buzz. So can you kind of talk us through what happened this week?
Sure. We're rebuilding the park. And one of the many things that we've got to get done is, in the year 2019, is we've got to collect up, harness, organize, whatever you want to call it, all of the interest in Bells in the social media world. And so we, Wednesday night at about 9 o'clock, we launched the new Facebook page. And I think all of us knew that we would have some pretty serious activity on it. We had no idea it was going to light up like it did. And it has been wonderfully overwhelming, just fantastic.
Well, I personally threw you a like because,
Thank you.
No, I'm a fan. I loved Bells, and it back in the day, that was half of the state fair, really. You spent about half your time at Bells Amusement Park and the other half, eating cotton candy or whatever.
Sure.
But the Zingo, loved the Zingo. I'm a roller coaster guy. I don't like things that spin, like the teacups. Like make me sick, but roller coasters, I love that. And and I know you've been working on trying to bring it back for a while. So I know you can't get into a whole lot of detail because of negotiations and whatever. But what can you tell us about like a timeline or a location? Anything?
Well, no. Unfortunately, I wish life wasn't this way, but unfortunately, you have to play things very close to the vest, and so we have non-disclosure agreements and such that we have to abide by. We're excited as anybody to tell our little piece of the world here in northeastern Oklahoma what we're getting ready to do, but the time is just not there yet, and this one piece of getting the social media aspect of it kind of collected and together is something that needed to happen right now. So I guess it's just kind of the nature of the beast. I wish I could say exactly where and exactly when, but right now I cannot. But hopefully in the very near future, I can spread the word to everybody about those questions and others that they may have.
So let's roll the clock back for a minute. What happened? Why did Bells have to leave the fairgrounds in the first place? I mean, I know, but let's remind our listeners.
Well, I mean, the fairgrounds still to this day is run by a trust authority, and people call it the Fair Board. Its technical name is the Tulsa County Public Facilities Trust Authority. That particular body has been running the fairgrounds since 1983, and the people that were on that board at that time chose not to have us there anymore, so they kicked us off.
So it certainly wasn't anything that you guys wanted to do,
No.
And it certainly wasn't because you didn't have some business.
That's correct. We had a very profitable business. In fact, there was never a year from 1951 through 2006 that the park did not declare a profit. excuse me, but people made a decision, and a lot of people disagreed with it, but unfortunately that happens in life all the time, and the right pieces are in the right place now for us to get this thing fired back up, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
So the last time I talked to you, you were sitting on a backhoe or a tractor, mm-hmm. and you were out there sort of rebuilding a smaller version of Bells. This is something that you did from day one. You said, we'll be back.
Yeah. It was my grandfather that started it, to put it in perspective. And my father, who, thank the Lord, is 79 years old and still working. He works about 50, 55 hours a week and is in excellent health. And then myself, we you have to kind of love this business in order to do it. It's a wonderful way to make a living, but it's not for the meek. It's very taxing. It's tough. The customers see the cool side of it, but they don't see the difficult side of it. You know, when you're, let's say, doing woodwork on Zingo, and it's January 15th, and you're 70 feet in the air, and the wind's blowing about 25 miles an hour out of the north, and it's 20 degrees outside. You know, there's all kinds of difficult parts to running an amusement park, but it's something that you're, for lack of a better term, you're married to. It's part of your life. It's part of your DNA. And that's the way it was for my grandfather. That's the way it still is for my dad and the way it's been for me. I first went to work for my dad at the park when I was 12. That was 1977. Got paid a penny a minute, 60 cents an hour.
Wow.
And I just never looked back and never will. I mean, the park is just a part of my life and my dad's life and our family's life. And we've always wanted it back, and now it looks like it's going to happen.
So that begs the question, what have you been doing with yourself over the last few years?
I've just had all types of different work that I've tried to do to keep myself busy. I never left Tulsa. I probably could have. But at the time, I had children still in the house. I have two sons. They're both grown men now. But when the park was closed 12 years ago, they were not. And I didn't want to uproot them. And so I stayed here local and did work, just like my father. My father is working right now today. And, you know, we just did what we could to try and survive the financial chaos that our family was put in by having our business taken away like it was. And try to keep pushing to get the park reopened. And it takes a lot to start any business anywhere in this country. It shouldn't, but it does. And ours has unique challenges because it's a unique business. You know, if you want to go to an amusement park right now and you live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you got to get in the car and jump on the turnpike and go 100 miles to get down there. So it's not something that's on every street corner. And as a result, it provides a lot of unique challenges in order to make it go. But we're about over all those challenges now. We're about ready to fire this thing up and turn the lights back on and make people happy.
Well, and I think it will make a lot of people happy. What about the boys? Are they planning on getting involved?
Well, sure. I mean, that's the only reason you have children is to make them work, isn't it?
It's supposed to be a closely guarded secret, Robbie, and you just spilled it.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yes, both of my sons, they love the park, and they'll be involved. It'll still be just like it was before, a family-owned business. We've always been a very close, tight-knit family. You kind of have to be. And you know, especially since we're around each other all the time, we better like each other, because you know, any of the old Bell's employees that are out there, they'll tell you, for that 7.5-8 months out of the year, if that park's open, you know, it's 80 and 100 hours a week. And we used to have an old saying in the Bell family: what does the Bell family call a 40-hour work week? We call that vacation. And that's what we take in the winter when the snow's on the ground. And so, but they love it too. And so they'll be knee deep in it right there with me and my dad and everybody else in our family.
Okay. I know a lot of people will have the burning question: will the Zingo be back?
Absolutely.
So that's cool. I guess the other question is, where's it been, and how do you maintain that equipment over, 12 or 13 years when it's not being used?
Well, there's lots of it that you can't use. You know, people have asked me that question many times, and without getting into a boring physics lesson, let me put it to you this way. If you wanted to build Zingo right now today, and Zingo had never been built, so you're starting with absolutely nothing,
right?
You're probably looking at a $7 million bill, maybe right around there, to put that one ride up. We will be able to put Zingo back up. I haven't looked at lumber prices recently, and they do fluctuate a tremendous amount, but we'll probably be able to put it up for about $4.5 million, roughly. So we can put it back up, but there's still a lot that you have to buy, because there's so much that you lose in the teardown.
most of the wood, right? I mean, you'll have the railings and some of the electrical.
Well, you know, the track, I don't know how much you know about roller coasters.
Very, wooden, very little.
A wooden roller coaster has a what we call a track bed, and it's made out of 2x material that's either 10 inches or 12 inches or 14 inches wide, but there's about 2,700 linear feet of it, and then it's 8 layers thick.
So, wow, because it has to withstand some pretty tough G-forces, right?
Well, sure. I mean, the train itself, empty, without customers in it, weighs 8,000 pounds. And it's going up and down angles as steep as about probably 70 degrees, you know, 90 being straight up and down.
Right.
And it can travel at speeds anywhere from as slow as 45 miles an hour to as fast as 60 miles an hour, kind of depending on how many people are in the vehicle and weather conditions and, you know, stuff like that. So,
you're right. There's a lot of physics and science, a lot of STEM involved in this.
Oh, there is. In fact, when the park was open, we had a number of schools that would come out, and we'll do this again, that would come out and they would actually study, as you put it, STEM, but science and, you know, some mechanical technology, some engineering type stuff, because that's really what an amusement park is. It's a collection of a bunch of gigantic machines. It's just they're a little bit cooler than a bulldozer. You know, they got some lights and some flash on them, and they make you go upside down or in a circle real fast or up and down hills real quick and stuff like that.
So what other rides can we look forward to riding again?
That's
a secret.
Here's what I will tell you. We have to walk kind of a fine line, and here's our fine line. We want our customers that remember Bells to come to the new location and see things that remind them of, hopefully, the wonderful memories they have of the past. But at the same time, we have to bring in new things so that you can have new excitement. So eventually, all of the Bell staples or favorites will be in operation. But we will probably start out with, let's say, half of our initial ride inventory will be stuff that we already own. Then the other half will be stuff that's brand new. It's never been to Tulsa. And then as we add on, then we will add on some old Bell favorites, and then we'll add on some new stuff, because we feel like we have to do both.
So I read on your Facebook page that it took better part of 2 years to build Zingo back in the, 66, 67, 68, that time zone.
Yeah, it was constructed from the winter of 67, and then it opened in July of 68.
So
yeah, the whole process to rebuild Zingo just by itself will take us, we'll have a time budget of about 12 months.
Robbie Bell with Bell's Amusement Park. The Cox Business Center downtown is going through a $55 million upgrade. Recently, KRMG's Russell Mills talked with Angie Teal about the upgrade and about the events they've already booked, even before the convention center is finished.
Can you kind of cover for us what was announced?
Absolutely. We are excited to announce that Cox Business Center is signing a multi-year, multi-million dollar contract with two internationally recognized businesses, Cenegence International and Usborne Books and More.
And what does that mean? So that means that they're going to be bringing events to the Cox Business Center?
Yeah, they both have their national conference, and they're both organizations that have Oklahoma roots. Usborne is actually based out of Tulsa, and Cenegence is out of Sepulpa, and they have agreed to bring their national conference to us for the next 3 years.
Okay, Usborne Books and More, I presume, sells books. And more.
They do. And more. You're right.
And Cenegence, what kind of business is that?
They are a beauty and healthcare company. Most popular known product is their Lipsense lipstick. It's a place it and it stays all day type of product. It's a really great product for all the ladies out there.
Wow. Okay. And these are both local area businesses that have national or international growth. And so they hold what, a convention? Is this for employees or customers or both? What kind of events are these?
Yeah, So it's their national conference that allows all of their delegates that sell their products to come in and learn about the best way to get their products out there, any new products that they're getting ready to offer. And it really is a lot about a community in these conferences. They come together and they get to share best practices and smart practices with each other and get back with their family members. It's kind of like a family reunion, but with a little educational component to it.
And apparently, they both signed 3-year contracts or 3-year agreements with the Cox Business Center.
Yep. And that is going to bring in over $11 million of economic impact to the city of Tulsa. They're going to stay in the hotels and dine in the restaurants and go see live entertainment and shop in the shop. So it's really exciting for Tulsa to have them agree to come here for 3 years.
And so the $11.792 million, that's dang near $12 million. That's estimated here. That's over the course of the 3 years?
Yes, correct.
Gotcha.
I mean, if I'm going to round up, I could say $12 million. I could get the extra $208,000 there.
Absolutely. I mean, it's closer to 12 than 11, so why
that's
not
right.
Go with that? Darn near $12 million. And about 12,000 people over the course of those 3 years.
Yep, those are people from outside of Tulsa coming in to enjoy all of the wonderful things that are happening downtown.
And here's why that's so very key. Because Oklahoma is the only state in the country that relies almost exclusively on sales tax to fund.
Really? I didn't know that.
That is true. To fund our daily lives and, you know, to build our roads and do all that kind of stuff. And so bringing folks in from out of town to spend money here and raise sales tax revenue is huge for Oklahoma.
It's absolutely huge. And, you know, I've been a convention center business for almost 13 years now, a little over 13 years. And it's great to see the impact that these conventions and citywide events have on the businesses in the city. It's really amazing.
It also exposes people to some of the treasures that Tulsa has to offer and hopefully mm-hmm. encourages some of these people to, like, move here and
right.
start businesses and raise families and stuff in the Tulsa area. So let's talk about what's going on there at the Cox Business Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we took the old arena that was attached to the Civic Center, what used to be called the Civic Center, and we tore out all of the seats. Well, we, Tulsa Vision Builders, tore out all of the seats. They raised the floor, so we have this great circulation space underneath what used to be the arena floor, and it is now going to be a 41,000-square-foot multipurpose space. We're calling it the Grand Hall because it's going to be elegant enough for a banquet, a gala, but it's also going to be functional enough for a trade show or a general session or a consumer show, and it's going to be divisible by 3 spaces via an air wall. It's going to have amazing light features. It's going to have the electricity in the floor, which is really convenient for trade shows. It's also capped off with this beautiful 3-story glass atrium entryway. It's really going to draw the attention down the corridor by the library and the 911 center, and it actually gives us a defined entrance to this convention center.
So this was part of the Vision 2025 money, I believe, that voters approved.
That is correct, yes.
And the total renovation, what, was 55 million?
55 million, yep.
All right. So what's the timeline on that? My understanding is they've made pretty good progress.
We're just over the halfway mark right now, and we plan to open our doors in August of 2020 for that space. It's right around the corner. It'll be here before we know it.
I was going to say, that's less than a year out.
Yeah.
So,
and we've got people knocking on our doors wanting to do tours and wanting to know more about it. So we're going to be filling it pretty quick.
And the place is still open for business in the meantime, right? Still doing
Absolutely.
Events and stuff?
Absolutely. We are, you know, our exhibit hall is not affected. Our Tulsa ballroom is not affected. You know, really the area that's in the construction zone is the area that's affected for the building.
Angie Teal with the Cox Business Center. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interviews. This is Oklahoma Perspective. For Cox Media Group, I'm Bert Williams.